First thing I want to talk about is the color red. Look at that red. It's red, these TVs, okay? Just like, okay? Okay? All right. All right, done. Talking. Red. Red is a color. Did you know that there is a psychology to colors? It does something psychological to, I need you to be quiet. It does something psychological to us. So red is the most emotionally intense color in the whole spectrum of color. So what it does to us is when we see this, your heart rate will get faster and you'll start breathing faster just from the color red. Just by looking at red, that will happen. The next thing it does is it is the color of love and also attracts attention. And so let's say you have red furniture in your home. Boom, you'll notice that. Red is also used often with, it's like an accent. I don't know how to describe it. It's like an accent in certain things to make it attention. So right now, boom, I see these two, a little bit in the arms. Some red, I noticed them. Hey, look, maroon, it's like brown and red just made a baby, and it was, ugh, sorry. I'm evangelist, I hate the colors. But red, so that's what red does. It gets your attention. It's an attention getter. The next one we're going to look at is yellow. It looks like lime green to me. Yellow is known because it's supposed to enhance concentration. It's a difficult color to take in. So you'll actually get more mad in yellow rooms. Baby will cry more in yellow rooms. But it's also used for legal pads. Get your attention. And the last thing it does, it will also speed up your metabolism. Yellow will speed up your metabolism. Red gets your attention. Yellow will speed up your metabolism. We'll come back to that later. Oh, one more pink fun fact. Sports teams will often paint the away team's locker room pink because it's supposed to drain your energy because it's so just fun to be in, you know. So that's why pink is like it will drain you. You will lose energy from it. So that's often a sports team strategy. Fun fact. But let's bring up, I want to go back. We've heard this verse. Before we read it again, because we're talking about the next generation, okay, you are that next generation, and we're going to say, you guys need to understand what it means to be a man and a woman of God. You need to understand what it means to be a biblical man and a biblical woman. So we're going to always come back to the first man and the first woman, because they were in right relationship with God at one point in time. We're going to look at that relationship. What did that look like? Okay, they're our first parents, so it's we're going to look at Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, that's huge. And the reason that's huge is if we go through the other things he's created, it's been the phrase, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be, I don't know, sun, moon, stars. Let there be this. Let there be. And then when we get to humanity, it's different. Then God said, let us make. So that already shows, that, and let me emphasize it again, you are the most important creature or creation that God made. Out of everything, you are the most important. The most important. Why? Because he has made us in his likeness, like him. We bear his image. Now, are we like God? I mean, are we spirit? Because that's what God is, a spirit. No. But we reflect characteristics of God. Okay? So let us make man in our image, us meaning Trinity, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's right. That's the point I want you to hear. Male and female. Men and women, both created in the image of God, men and women are equal. So right off the bat, Genesis 1, men are equal to women. We look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now the word helper, now women, we know this, we're talking about you, because God like makes animals and then he decides, okay, we're going to make woman. So that word helper. If you're a woman, does that word helper kind of seem demeaning? Raise your hand. That seems demeaning. Okay. That's good. If you don't, it's because you just got to, yeah, you know what it's about. I want you to understand the meaning of helper, which if you looked up the synonyms of helper, it would be like insubordinate, or like, I don't know what the word is. What is that word? It's like you're beneath. You're like, I'm in charge of you, little helper. I think of an elf. But the Hebrew use of the word helper here is not saying that. What helper means in this situation is companion. Now, to me, the word companion sounds a little more equal. That doesn't sound as demeaning, does it? So if I read that again, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a companion fit for him. So that's if you want to look at what that, to help you understand it in our language, that's what that would mean. So men and women are equal, yet we'll look throughout the Bible that even though we are equal, we are different. There are differences. Equal, but with different roles. Hold on. I've listened to several sermons over the past few weeks on those differences. But I said, we need to go back to that first premise. Men and women are equal? Excuse me? Because I look around the world, and I don't think we've gotten that figured out yet. I sometimes look around the church and say, I don't think we've got that figured out yet. I don't think we've accepted that first premise of men and women are equal. Equal in value. Different roles, but equal. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight is that idea of men and women are equal, and we're going to prove that. So the first thing we need to think about is our world. Are men, are women equal to men in our world? And when I looked some of this stuff up, I saw immediately sex-selective abortions. Okay, there's countries that have a high rate of abortion specifically due to the fetus's gender. It's never because it's a male. It's because it's a female. Because the fetus is female, they will abort it. And this is seen in countries like China, India, all throughout southern Europe. And the reason this is in China specifically, is it has in several provinces, some are not as strict as others, but the most strict, it's a one-child policy. You get one kid, okay? Actually, it seems like they've extended it to two kids. One-child policy, you are allowed a second child only if the first child is female. Because you need to try again. You didn't get it right the first time. That's kind of how I read that. You're allowed to try again if it's a female. You messed up. Oftentimes, they will abort the female fetus and hope to get a male. In India, females are also not as valued to where 6.4 of all females that could be are aborted in India, 6.4%. That is 106,000 female fetuses that are aborted every single year in India alone because they're female. And I'm just going to get on a little soapbox. The pro-choice movement is going to talk to you about women's rights. Let me tell you something about women's rights. I don't think they're represented here very well at all. I want to talk about women's rights. I'm talking about 106,000 female fetuses being aborted just in India. That's women's rights. The church. I think the church has played a part in some discrimination. I think through some biblical interpretation, women have been viewed as they're not allowed to be in any leadership position whatsoever. Now, we're going to talk about that probably in the next few weeks about are women allowed to be in ministry? Are they allowed to be in leadership? I think that though there is some discrimination there. I think it would be wrong to say you can't have a woman pastor. We're a part of a church that has women pastors. And I think it would be perfectly fine for a woman to lead a church and be the head pastor. So I think there's some discrimination there, even in the church, outside of the world. And so the first thing I was wondering is, how does Jesus value women? Where does he stand on the issue? And the first thing I came across was in John 4 with the woman at the well. Now, with the woman at the well, quick story, she's been married, divorced 5 times, currently living with someone, a man that's not her husband, all right? So this girl is a little promiscuous, not very respected by those around her, and she's a Gentile. And so for Jesus comes up and he talks to her. Gentile woman, not a very good woman. Like all these reasons why a Jewish man would never speak to a woman like this. And yet Jesus, throughout that story, you'll see, not only does he come talk to her, he asks her to give him a drink of water. And then offers her living water, offers her eternal life. That was way beyond what culture thought was acceptable. The disciples were like, dude, Jesus, what are you doing? That was weird. Next in John 8, we see a woman who has committed adultery. And they're about to stone her because in those times, if a woman committed adultery, she gets stoned. A man, she commits adultery, he gets a big old, shame on you, buddy. Shouldn't have done that. That was not cool. Stone her. That's the culture you're living in. I see a difference of values in Jesus' time here. And what does Jesus do? I mean, the law of Moses even says to stone her. And Jesus says, you have sinned, throw the first stone. And he goes, and everybody kind of walks away and he goes, daughter, you know, who condemned you? She said, no one. He goes, I don't either. Now stop sinning. And he does not condemn her. That was beyond what was the norm for that society, that culture. The last one I wanted to look at was Luke 7, of the sinful woman who pours perfume on Jesus' feet. Jesus is, he's going to a party. I think the Pharisees or something like that. I think it's after Lazarus. I don't remember. He's at a party. He's reclining. Remember, he's reclining at a party. And then this woman, a very sinful woman, comes in and just starts pouring expensive perfume, like a year's wages of perfume on his feet. She's crying, cleaning his feet. And everybody's like, when are you going to stop this? Look at this. She's disgraceful. And Jesus responds to them by saying, Peter, when I came to your house, you didn't kiss me. This woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't wash my feet. She's bathing me with her tears. You didn't pour ointment on me. And she just poured out like a year's worth of very special perfume. And I'm not talking about perfume you get like at CVS or Walmart brand. She was getting the most legit stuff of all time, pouring it all on his feet. He goes, Peter, she loves me more. And that's what saved her. Her love and her faith has saved her. I mean, Peter's kind of like, bro, you're right. I don't know. I don't know how Peter responded to that, but I thought it was kind of funny that Peter's like, man, why are you picking on me? I guess I secretly thought it was weird that she was coming in here too, but I wasn't the, I don't know, sorry. So we see Jesus' stance on women. We see that he values them. That's what we see, that Jesus values them, and it was radical for his time. And what was the culture in first century? We see that women were not as valuable as men. I was listening to a sermon, and he talked about how women used to be prostituted out of the temple. Like priests would say, all right, if you really want to connect with God, you now have to have sex with this prostitute in the temple. That's how messed up we are. So that happened. We already talked about how if a woman committed adultery, she was stoned, a man gets a shame on you. A woman is raped. We talked about Jacob and his daughter Dinah, and she got raped, and it was like her rapist was like, can I marry her now? And Jacob was like, yeah, I guess. And why is that accepted? Why is it you get raped, you have to marry your rapist? That sounds terrible. Like, the woman has no say here in this. I see there's a difference here. And overall, women are viewed as property and not as a human. And so that brings us to Peter, the guy who has seen Jesus. He's seen how Jesus values women. And Jesus now has left, and it's his job to establish the church, establish what is right, what is wrong. And he's writing to everyone. He's writing to the Jews, Gentiles. They have dispersed, and he's kind of just writing to them all in 1 Peter. So I want to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay. Let's go through this really quick. Likewise, husband, live with your wives in an understanding way. That sounds nice. Let's be understanding with them. Why do we need to be understanding with them? is because women were not educated at this time. They were not allowed to be educated. That's not what they did. So men would get frustrated with them. You need to live in understanding. You need to be patient with your wife. You need to be a good husband to your wife in these areas. Live in an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. If I came home and said, Emily, I just want to show honor to you as the weaker vessel, she would probably like hit me or something. It would hurt. And what I need to clear up is, what does weaker vessel mean? Weaker vessel simply means women are physically weaker than women. I guess for some reason back in the day, men were like mad that the woman couldn't carry the same cartload as they could. And so that's what he's saying is, don't be upset with that. Just because your wife is weaker to you, just because you can beat her in an arm wrestling competition, you need to show her honor. Since they are heirs with you, and in several manuscripts of the original text, that is translated as joint heirs. So you can view that as joint heirs. You are joint heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. I want to read the message. The message is not a biblical translation that is like word for word accurate. It is a concept for concept. So if you don't fully understand something, maybe over here in the English Standard or the New American Standard versions of translation, you can go over to the message and it may be able to help you out. So I want to read that really quick for those of you that maybe need that. The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. Muscles. For some of you, that's not the case. I think there's some women that can beat us up in here. But in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground. So how do we treat women in our society today? And I think we can get a good understanding of how we treat women in our society today if we simply turn on the radio. So I'm going to sing some songs that I've heard on the radio. The first one is by Jay-Z. This one probably isn't on the radio. I remember there was a time. I'm going to admit it. I downloaded a Jay-Z album. I then heard this lyric and deleted it, because this is no business going in my ears. But one of these, he's singing about his wife. No, I want a brothel. No, I want a wife that has intercourse with me like a prostitute. Was that honoring his wife? Another song is more popular. I've got 99 problems, but a stupid girl ain't one. 50 Cent has a popular song called In Da Club. In fifth grade, I memorized the song. I grew up and got mature and said, that is a terrible song. Let me read you the little, this is my edited versions in case you didn't notice. Because even as I say them, they're still terrible. I'm into having intercourse. I'm not into making love, so come give me a hug if you're into getting rubbed. I read this today, and I realized how fearful I would be if I went and hugged 50 Cent. I'd be terrified to hug him. What are you rubbing, dude? And why does that have to go with being, like, why do I have to hug you? And that is, you have to rub me. What are you talking about? You can't just hug me as a normal human being? What are you rubbing? I'm just in, and I can say the line, I'm into having sex. I'm not into making love. Do you know how long that thing gets pumped through those radio waves? Me as a fifth grader, we're incredibly impressionable, all of us. And as a fifth grader, I memorized that. I don't even realize what that probably did to me, memorizing a song like that, because it was on all the time. I just memorized it. So 50 Cent says, just have sex. Don't make love. He also has several songs about pimping. Pimping. Who does not know the understanding of what a pimp is? To be honest, in middle school, I did not know what a pimp was. Okay. I'm going to explain what a prostitute is. A prostitute is someone, generally a female, usually, not always, that you pay to have sex with you. A lot of the times, these are women that have grown up in a really terrible household. A lot of ran away from their homes. A lot of them get addicted to drugs. They have to keep having sex, keep doing this, keep getting the money flow to keep their life going. And often they're forced into this and forced to keep doing this because of a pimp. A pimp is generally a male, usually a male, who is in charge of several prostitutes. I know this is mature language, but it's real and this is life. And a prostitute, a pimp, will force the girls to keep having sex with other men. And so recently, there was a guy was a pimp for a large ring of sex slavery, and he actually wrote down a list, it was on him, of how to be a pimp. And I read this, and it's a top 10 list, and I'm not trying to make it funny. I want us to hear how sick and twisted this is. If you're a pimp, one, always make them need and depend on you so you have power over them. Power is control. Two, make them understand that you don't need them, they need you. They are replaceable. Never let them know if you need them deep down inside. Three, never let no one get away with sneak anything, because once they feel they can get away, they will always scheme. This guy's really bad at grammar. Four, no matter how much you like or care for one or any of them, don't trust none of them. Like Scarface, who do I trust? That's me. That's who? Me. Always stay two steps ahead of the game you have them playing. Six, don't let them know all your plans, but always try to know theirs. The problem I'm having with this is no is spelt with no, the K-N, it's just N-O. So I'm sorry. No K, no W. Seven, make sure you own their minds, bodies, and souls, and test it out every once in a while to make sure. Eight, keep your B-I, don't know what that means, and it has a question mark, on the low as possible when it comes to family and haters, because you can't trust none of them. Nine, always try to know what's going on, make them tell on each other. Ten, give respect when respect's due. Follow these rules, and you should be Gucci. I want to just focus on number seven. Make sure you own their minds, bodies, and souls. He wrote that. Minds, bodies, and souls. This idea that we have control over a woman's mind, body, soul, or that they're not valued enough to have those things valued. And I want to talk really quick, and we're going to talk about it later. But if you are engaging in using pornography, you are no different, no better than a pimp. Because by doing that act, you are saying, I have control of her mind, body, and soul. She's just an object to look at. She doesn't have those things. You're no different than this pimp. Let's listen to some of the songs. Pharrell Williams. Yeah. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night to get lucky. That's what life's about. That's the whole song. Up all night to get some, up all night to get lucky. Robin Thicke, he's terrible. I don't know what that song is, Blurred Lines. What do they make dreams for when you got them jeans on? What do they make dreams for when you got them jeans on? What do we need steam for? You the hottest agitating female in this place. I feel so lucky, hey, hey, hey. You want to hug me, hey, hey, hey. What rhymes with hug me, hey, hey, hey. Let's make fun of this for a bit. Ladies, hypothetically, I've never been to a club, just so you know. But let's say we're at the club, okay? Right? And I come up to you, and I go, girl, what they make dreams for when you got them jeans on? That should do nothing. You should just be like, you're pathetic, walk away. This works. This works in society. There's people that lay lines like that, and that works. We'll talk about that later. But how lame of a line. Like, how valued do you feel? To know that somebody across the room, say it's me, I'm just across the room, I'm like, them jeans. That's what I'm thinking about. And I come over, I go, let you know what I'm thinking about. That's what's on your mind. Up all night to get some. That's all we got. That's all we want. One, I gotta say, I feel so lucky. Hey, 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 you wanna hug me? Hey, 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 what rhymes with hug me, hey, hey, hey. If you're high school, you know what that means. Second, nothing rhymes with hug me. Nothing rhymes with hug me. He's an idiot. Stupid idiot. Men objectify women. These are just a minute percentage of all the songs you're hearing on the radio. And I want you, if you generally listen to the top 40 pop music, start listening. Because it matters. Because if you're partaking in that, you're saying it's okay. You are a part of the culture that is objectifying women. And the second part is, I talk about that line, it works. Why does it work? Because women are told, you're worth this much. you're worth this much. All we want is this. And then when you hear that all the time and you don't know Jesus and that your identity's not in Jesus, you say, I guess that's what I am worth. I guess that's what I need to only want. That is all that is important to them. That's all that's going to be important to me. I'm going to have no standards. That's all I'm going to care about. And there's music for that. Let's bring up Kesha. Sadly, one of my favorites, and God's going to have to convict. He convicted me. So here's Kesha. Coming out your mouth with your blah, 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 zip your lips like a padlock, and meet me in the back with the jack and the jukebox. I don't care where you live at, just turn around, boy, let me hit that. Don't be a little female with your chit-chat, just show me where your privates are at. That is a line from Kesha. To where she has said, now you say that's all you want, now I guess that's all I want. I just want sex. That's all that matters to me. So that's going the other way around. Miley Cyrus. To my homegirls with the big butt, shaking it like we're at the strip club. Remember, only God can judge you. Forget the haters because somebody loves you. Miley Cyrus was encouraging you that have heard this song, this one definitely on the radio, to shake it like you're at a strip club. That's your value. Be like a stripper. That's your value. That's what the world wants you to know. And so the one thing I want you to know is women are not a commodity. And a commodity is defined as a project that can be, an object that can be bought and sold, similar to coffee. Something you just buy and sell. Women are not a commodity. And so the first thing to talk about when we talk about commodity is porn. It is a $10 to $14 billion industry in the last year. $10 to $14 billion. Out of that $10 to $14 billion, you need to know that only 20% of people actually pay. So take that and times that by five. So if everybody paid who actually partakes in it, that's like a $50 billion industry at minimum. $50 billion. 97.4% of men will look at pornography at some time in their life, and 70% will become addicted. 82.7% of women, will be exposed to pornography, and 25% will become addicted at some point in time. So porn's a big deal. Porn's an epidemic. And even in this group, it's an epidemic in this group. So I want to watch a video really quick of one of my favorite artists on porn. What porn does is it has three things it does to you. What it'll say is the real body isn't good enough. What we're learning is that when we just get satisfaction from a computer screen, for you that doesn't, you don't, this isn't a part of your life, then realize that it's a part of others. You need to pray for them. You need to realize that one day if you have a future mate and they have a problem with this, they need to fix that first. Okay, we're learning that as we take in those images, they affect us. They affect us big time to where we don't want the real thing. In a study done, and I'm sorry, Daniel probably knows this guy's name. Nicholas Tinbergen won the Nobel Peace Prize, or won it with some other person, in 1973. He had an experiment with butterflies. The experiment with butterflies was he took all the males and female butterflies, which I don't know how you can tell, but he separated them. And with the males, he took a picture of a female butterfly, enhanced its features, and made it really big on a cardboard, a giant piece of cardboard. And they, like, flew around, and there was this gigantic female. And so they took in this image of this enhanced picture of this female. And then after a certain amount of time, I didn't read how much time that they were with that picture. But then when they were reunited with the females, they wouldn't mate with them. Now, why would they not mate with them? Because the female butterflies did not match up, did not live up to that cardboard image. And I wonder if this is something that affects butterflies, could it affect humans? So the real body isn't good enough. The next thing we need to learn about porn is one body isn't good enough. That we're hearing all the time. You're not hearing, man and wife, that's all you need. You're hearing, get with as many people as you can. That is completely outside of what God's design is for you. Porn will teach you that one is not enough. One person? not good enough. I'll get bored. The third thing you'll learn is your wife's body isn't good enough, or your husband's body isn't good enough. They're not going to live up to that giant cardboard poster. They're not going to live up to that. To where you get bored. You're not good enough. I've done two research papers on porn, and it causes more infidelity. There's less commitment to your partner. It'll affect your behavior. You'll be more accepting of rape myth, meaning that if a girl gets raped, it is her fault. She could have done something to prevent that. You are more violent if you look at pornography towards women. And I think that if we have this image that this is what a woman is, this is what's acceptable, I think it is paired up perfectly with sex slavery. I'm willing to make that jump. Sex slavery affects 17,500 people are trafficked into the U.S. each year. Okay, so they're trafficked. These are slaves. Okay, people that are captured, they're slaves. Approximately 80% of those people are used for sexual exploitation. More than 70% of those that are used for sexual exploitation are female or children. The average age of someone becoming a sex slave is between 12 and 14 years old. That's the reality. And you think this is just some mythical thing. You think this is just something that doesn't affect us. I got a picture right here. This is Hong Kong Spa on Kearny Street. This is a brothel. There are several women in here that are sex slaves. They never leave. Only men enter. You pay a fee and you have sex with one of the girls, not her choice. This is Springfield, Missouri. This is like just a few miles from my home. You think this is just some third world problem? Guess what? It's right here. It's in your backyard. And you know what? Do you know why nothing's changed? I think it's been in business for over 12 years. Do you think what it could be is this, that it's not that important? Maybe it's just not that important to us because we're a culture where half of the women, just a statistic, think porn is okay. It's an okay part of your life that you can have. Maybe because 70% of men are addicted to it. But maybe it's not that big of a deal if we just take what we do there and it's just real life. What's the difference? Maybe that's why this place is in business for 12 years. In your city, AG Mecca, most churches here. So why should we care about equality? Why? And I guess I'm specifically talking to men here because Peter's talking to men. But women, this is true too. Why should you care about your equality? Men, why should you care about their equality? And we go to that verse, and just verse 7. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, that now since Jesus has died and he has given us his grace, guess what? You're equal. That's why you should care, because you are joint brothers and sisters in Christ. That is why you should care. And the next line you see later on is honor your wife. Honor. Now, what does that word honor mean? That word honor is not used in the Greek anywhere else. But honor there would seem to indicate meaning to put something as more valuable than yourself. Men, make your wife more valuable than yourself. That's how she's supposed to be. Now, to Peter, for Peter to say this, to first century Christians to come in, and he says, be understanding. They're just like, come on. She's annoying. Two, then he says, guess what? You're equal. And they're probably saying, Peter, you don't know my wife. We're not equal, and she's annoying. And he tells them, you guys are joint heirs. You guys are equal in Christ. This means a lot. So what can we do to honor women? Women, what can you do to honor other women? The first thing you need to do is renew your mind to think differently. Renew your mind to think differently. And this can be seen in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're saying, all right, we need to be transformed. The world should not affect us in a negative way. So what is good? What is acceptable? What is perfect? And we go to Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I'm that guy that says, you turn on your radio and you hear these lyrics and these words, is that pure, lovely? Is that honorable to women? And I'm not going to go beyond just music. I think God cares about what we think about, what we watch, and what we listen to. We are impressionable. At the very beginning, you saw those colors, and this is kind of a little funny thing, little thing. Why do you think McDonald's is yellow and red? After I learned this, I realized every time I drive by McDonald's, I'm like, I want McDonald's. Why do I want McDonald's? There is subliminal advertising, even in the colors that advertisers will choose, because they'll try to get you to want it without you knowing and realizing that they're getting you to want it. So that's why a lot of restaurants, because it speeds up your metabolism, get your attention. You'll see that they use a lot of red and yellow. Just pick up on that. Realize that you didn't realize that you're being impressioned even by just colors. What do you think that music and movies and pornography is doing to you? What do you think that's doing to you if colors affect you? Why do you think God cared so much about what you put in? Because he wanted what was good to go in. Because he knew if what you put in, that's what's going to come out. So second, we need to make up your mind to behave differently. And so with women specifically, and I guess I'm going to talk about every form of oppression, every genocide, the oppressor has used labels to dehumanize what they do. So we look at the Tutsis and the Hutus and the Tutsis, where Hutus call Tutsis, if you don't know that situation, mass genocide in Rwanda. I'm so sorry. We just watched the movie Hotel Rwanda a few weeks ago to see the horrific acts that went on there that simply due to just political power, due to just things like that. People that were neighbors, family members, killed each other simply because one was a Hutu and one was a Tutsi. And Hutus called Tutsis cockroaches. That was their derogatory term, cockroaches. Bigots or homophobes, we know what they call homosexuals. It could be simple, something is just homo. I mean, I think that that's a word even that small. And there's bigger ones, and you know those words that are used. I would say in those situations, guess what, homosexuals? Those are daughters and sons of Christ. And there is no reason or way that we should be labeling them as less than human with words. Racists have every name for every single race. Funny story, my mom, when I came out of the womb, she said I had a bean head. She's called me Beaner ever since. She had no idea the racist implications of that name, and neither did I until, like, one day she called me. She goes, see, Beaner, and my friends were just like, what did your mom just call you, and is your mom a racist? And if you don't know, that's a derogatory term as well towards a race. Nazis called Jewish women, they called Jewish women whores. And today, when we just turn on the music, we call women whores, hoes, and witches. We do the same thing. We dehumanize and objectify women, just like Nazi Germany, Nazis objectified women. They called them whores, yet we just play it in our music. We use it in our daily language. So what's the consequence if we don't honor women? We can see here in that same verse, honor so that your prayers may not be hindered. If you don't honor women, God's not going to listen to your prayers. And I don't know about you, that's a big deal. So right now, if you feel like maybe you're going through a time in your life where you feel like you're not feeling his presence, you're not connecting with him, maybe one of those reasons is, are you objectifying women in some way? Are you not honoring women in some way? Because that's one of the stipulations of he's not going to listen to you. If you're engaging in a life of porn, guess what? You're going to feel some distance from God, not just from your sin, but because you're specifically also not honoring women. Genesis 2, chapter 20b through 23. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, a biblical commentator named Matthew Henry, he's really good. This is kind of his take on that scene. And I'm going to quote him here. Eve was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. I think that's good. So tonight, I said one line, men honor women. And you know what that is. In the ways in your life that you're not honoring women, do it. Change. Women, honor yourselves. Quit saying I'm worth this much, because that's what the man has told me. You need to know your own value. You are the most important creature in the entire world. When you know your identity in Christ, you will not struggle with your value, because you're going to realize you are the most valuable thing. So if you're struggling with that, you need to get in the Word. You need to start thinking about how God thinks of you. Spend time with Him. Let Him define you. That's something so easily said and not taken seriously. Like, Christopher, you don't know how I feel. Just try. Let God renew your mind. Let Him do some rewiring by spending time with Him. And I want to end just on a song, because I've sung some songs tonight. I want to end on one by O Sleeper, one of my favorite bands. And they're a screaming band. And the line here is, to the girls, you're worth more than the cheap words. You see your body as beauty, your pulse is worth more.